The views and opinions expressed in this episode are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of Gwen and Mercy Academy High School, the Sisters of Mercy, or any related affiliate.
Be nice to yourself because, you know, your relationship with yourself is the longest relationship you're ever going to have. So it's good to start whenever you can to be, you know, to get good with each other.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Monarch Impact Podcast. I'm Liana Buella, and I'm a freshman at Gwen and Mercy.
And I'm Erin Remo Clements, a graduate of the class of 2012 and Gwen's Director of Alumni Engagement.
Today, we will meet Megan McGuire from the graduating class of 2001. Over her 4 years at Gwen and Mercy Academy High School, Megan was a member of CSC, Art Club, and Glee Club. She also played on Gwen's soccer team, she was the co-senior editor for the literary magazine, and she was an ambassador. She later pursued an individualized course of study at NYU with performance and politics. Today, she lives her life on set as an actress. She has acted in web series Katie and Sean and made an appearance on Late Show with David Letterman. Welcome, Megan. Okay. Hi, Megan. It's so nice to have you with us today. So exciting. I'm sure what a lot of people are wondering was, you know, what were you involved in here at Gwened, knowing that you're a Gwened girl? What were you involved in? What kind of things did you like to do here?
I did a bunch of different things. Freshman year, I did do soccer, and then I kind of had my afternoons free and was like, oh, this is nice. It was very intense. I always played sports, but I think I appreciated definitely doing it freshman year. It was really fun to like meet other people. But then I sort of slowly moved to the artsy area, and I took art all 4 years. I don't know. That's the way we described it. Might not be how you guys phrase it anymore. But I was on the literary magazine. I was co-editor senior year. I was in chorus again. Don't know if that's what it's called, which is hilarious because I cannot sing for the life of me, but I loved being with others and letting my voice just be in the background. And then I can't remember the name, but I did every volunteer thing you could do, I was doing it.
Oh, yeah. I think it was called, CSC when you were a student? Yes. Now we call it Ministry and Service. CSC was always a big hit with the Gwened girls.
Wow. Yeah. So it seems like you did get to try a lot of different things. So is it right you didn't exactly pursue performing arts at Gwened right away? Did you kind of find that later in your high school journey?
Yes, as I mentioned, I am not gifted singing. So my brain was like, well, I can't do the musicals. I did do one. It was a play at LaSalle where it was it wasn't something they just made up, but it was all these Shakespeare scenes together. Mm-hmm. So I was a witch. So that was huge for me. I didn't pursue I don't know if there was a play every year, but I didn't pursue it at the time. I probably was too shy, honestly, at the time, and probably like a little scared. Even though it's what I wanted to do, it's a weird thing where you're like, this is what you want to do. And I always say, like, sometimes your personality, some people's personality is made for acting. My personality is not necessarily made for acting, but that's what I wanted to do. So I had to like kind of grow into how a performer is. Like, I love structure. And if you want to pursue the arts, most of the time it's not going to be the structure of A to B to C. It's like A to D, A to Z, Z back to A.
Wow, so that's really interesting. It seems like you've come really far since then.
Yeah, it's I always knew I wanted to go to New York City and act, and I was very, very lucky to get into NYU, which was like my number one school. I went to Gallatin, which is you kind of design your own major. Even going into it, I don't think I quite understood it, so it's okay if you don't understand me. You design your own major. So you kind of go in, and the way it was described was like if you wanted to be a photojournalist, you'd study photography and journalism. I kind of knew I wanted to be an actor, but I didn't know what else I was interested in. So it kind of gave me, I almost felt like, well, I'll do this and then I'll figure out where I want to transfer. And then I went there and I was like, this is great. It lets me learn about all the things I want to do. So I would say I have considered it an English degree. If I just want to like make it short and sweet, they're like, that didn't explain anything. What? And I'm like, it's I read a lot of books.
Wow. Well, considering that you were involved in many different activities here at Gwynedd, what specifically led you to pursue a like individualized course of study at NYU with performance and politics?
I think at the time once I got there and I sort of not to bore anyone, but the school is like the idea is each class that the school itself offered was like you kind of study an idea, but you come at it from every kind of angle. You wanted, art, sciences, like classic literature. So it was just very interesting to me. Again, it's like, Megan, maybe you should have realized this is the school you were going to prior. But I was like, hey, this is great. So at the time, it was like 2001. The politics was like, but Bush W, The Daily Show was like the pop culture phenomenon. I was obsessed with the show Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Like, I was very much into pop culture and very much into what was going on in the world. And, to study, I guess what I would say is like studying, how media and how the youth are affected by pop culture all throughout history. How, from you look back, you could do a whole study on the last 100 years, but also to classic literature, to, how our mind processes information of media. Like you kind of studied everything from every angle. So it was just at the time, like if I wish I could do it now. I wish I could do it 1,000 times over. It's just very interesting. But at the time, that's what was sort of like the zeitgeist.
Wow, that is really interesting. Well, obviously, Gwynedd, it's a smaller school. I mean, not the biggest. I mean, we only have a red and gold corridor, obviously. So I'm sure the transition from Gwynedd to the Big Apple must have been like very drastic. So how did you adjust, and like, what was your transition like?
Well, I really wanted it. So that's something like I wasn't like no one was dragging my feet. I was like, I want the big city. I want big classes. Like this is something I wanted. But it was so scary and weird. I think I probably was having a panic attack the entire ride up. So I was like, wow, like I stay here now. I don't, this isn't a visit. This is like permanent for a while. But you just kind of like you have your schedule, and they were NYU. I will not say we don't have a campus like Columbia in the city has a campus, but they were very supportive, I would say, at the very beginning with like lots of activities, lots of things. We were, our hands are being held, and everyone's sort of in the same boat. So no one, I went in very scared, like all these people are going to be so cool, they're going to know what they're doing. Like nobody knew what they were doing, so we were it was like, let's do this together.
That's really cool. And what made you kind of like, was there anything at Gwynedd that really prepared you for that time when you were kind of thrown into this totally new? I mean, around here, everybody's from kind of the same area. You may have grown up with some people who went to grade school together. Were there certain things that you learned in high school that really prepared you to take that leap?
I would say definitely the course load. I mean, everyone's different. If you're studying to be a doctor, this is probably not going to describe you, but I found the coursework or the course load a lot easier than Gwynedd. Like, I felt like I was really prepared with, I mean, I'm not saying I was the best with time management. That is in no way. And like, you can talk to Caitlin, who I talked to, who was scheduling this, who was probably like, why are you not emailing me back? Like, I'm a procrastinator. But, things got done. Things got handed in at least on time, and I think Gwynedd really helped me prepare that. I would not to compare because, to compare is to despair. But if some of the other people, didn't quite have any time management skills or any sort of were not used to the structure. So I feel like the structure going into something that actually didn't have a lot of structure, it was very helpful to have that experience. And also just, I would say, you know, on a bigger level, I think what had really prepared me, I just think the school really cared about making sure everyone had empathy for one another. And I think that's maybe one of the most important things in my life is having strong empathy. And it was just so helpful. You know, again, I go into it saying like, oh, I expected all these people to be cooler and know what they're doing. And then I was like, oh, you can just see we're all kind of figuring it out at the same time. And even the people who actually acted like they knew what they were doing, you're like, okay, that's how you're dealing with this. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, I definitely, empathy is like number one.
Yeah. I think being able, the relationships you make here, and, you know everyone, and then you exactly. went into this situation where you didn't know anybody, but you were able to, yeah, like, use those skills that you learned of, like, building a community to kind of find that once you were in a larger, kind of more scary situation, which is good.
Well, yeah, I'm sure that must have been a challenge coming to NYU, but how would you say you got started? Like, what really made your professional career in acting actually happen from NYU?
Well, I started taking classes. So at Gallatin, you could take classes anywhere within NYU. Like, they have 7 schools, or at least the time. Who knows what it is now? But you could take all the classes except the acting track. I think it was acting and film track. That's more like conservatory. Mm-hmm. So I was taking smaller acting classes and kind of seeing what I liked. And then I did summer. I think the first one I did was acting for film and television. And so that's probably not the best to start with when you have no acting training, is like, let's get this on film. Like, I'm still like, oh, those tapes, because they were on VHS tapes or somewhere, to embarrass me one day. But I just sort of like, and then the next summer I did a study abroad in Ireland for acting. And then the last summer I did a 6-week, it was called the Neighborhood Playhouse. And I started Meisner, which is an acting technique that I then loved and ended up doing a 2-year conservatory after college in. So it kind of, I always say, like, I don't think I was ready. As you know, saying like I was too scared to do acting class or acting the plays in high school. I don't think I was ready to dive into like conservatory act. This is all you're doing at 18 years old. Like, I think I needed more of a person, figuring out what I liked and all the, and building confidence. And doing that also, I someone said, like, you should take improv. It will help you with acting and everything. And I took improv and I fell in love, and I realized, like, oh, I'm a comedic actor. As much as I would love to do Shakespeare and all these things, you know, you go with your strengths. And I fell in love, and I was doing that outside of NYU at UCB Theater, Upright Citizens Brigade Theater, which some people might know. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I suddenly had these two worlds that came out of NYU, but then also had my NYU experience.
Wow. It seems like through all of these like classes, you got to get a little taste of all the different techniques in acting, but would you say you have a favorite?
Well, I do love Meisner is, I would say they're all kind of similar in the sense of like, if you went to NYU undergrad, they have different schools of acting that once you get in, you could go to. So one of my best friends was in the Stella Adler acting class, and he would tell me about that. And it's all not very, it's all, you know, we're all, no one's like recreating the wheel. Like, it's all in the same sort of realm. But after going for 2 years, I found my current acting coach, teacher. And so she herself kind of combines all of those sort of acting techniques into her own technique, which I found amazing and very helpful. This is all to say, if you want to be an actor, you never stop learning. You never stop taking classes. It is a constant, you know, you're constantly evolving.
Absolutely. For those who might be listening and have never heard of Meisner, can you give us like a little definition, like a quick little like snippet of what it could be?
So his saying was like, acting is doing. So you're never acting. If I was to ask you a question, I'm not going to say the lines, hey, how are you? I am going to look at you and ask you how you are. So you're really doing these things, even though we might have just been talking, so I don't need to ask you how you are. That's the acting part. Mm-hmm. So the exercises that kind of train you before you start learning scenes are kind of hilarious and crazy to see, but essentially starts where two actors look at each other and they go, I would say, you're wearing a pink shirt. And then you would say, I'm wearing a pink shirt. And the thing is to mean it every time as if it's new. And then it kind of starts evolving where you start adding, you know, what happened before this? What is your emotional life? What? And then plot goes into it. But the whole idea is you're always asking the question and you're always meaning it. Whatever you're saying, you mean it. And that gets into how, you know, acting is a little bit of craziness because you know it's pretend. But right. It's called the actor's faith, that in that moment you do believe what you're saying and you do mean it. So they all kind of get there, but that the particular, like, you're wearing a hat, I'm wearing a hat, is a, you might see that mocked if you watch enough pop culture. It's definitely, some people make fun of it, that that's like silly, but that is the base that gets you to being able to do a scene and act.
That's pretty cool. So is that something that you, like, is that focused mostly in stage, television, improv, like, or is that something that's like universal across all different types of acting?
I think that's it. So from my experience, this is mostly taught to then do theater scenes. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think like, oh, I don't want to do theater, I want to be a film or TV actor, and that's great. Actually, that's how I feel now too. But theater acting, it just gives you a base because there's so much more nuance. And it's, I think, take classes where you're doing scenes that are theater, and then that gives you a base where you can do anything. Like, you can always, if someone's like, oh, I don't want to be a theater actor, it's too big, it's real easy to pull yourself down to TV. Mm-hmm. It's a technique. It will take you like an hour to learn. Like, I'm always like, just get it's about getting some sort of like, you know, nitty gritty base. And then you can do soap operas. Do they even have soap operas anymore?
My grandmother, who is 91 years old, has me record General Hospital for her at 3 o'clock every day. And I could still tell you all those characters from when I watched it when I was like 10. They're still the same people. They've died. They've come back to life.
Luke and Laura. That's Luke and Laura, right?
Yep. Okay. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. Absolutely. The Quartermains.
Oh my gosh.
All of it.
When I took that class, or I took a summer course on acting for television and film when I did not know what I was doing, there was a soap opera class. And it was mostly how...
That's cool.
Because all they do is talk to each other. So how do you make that interesting? So you just talk, and they do this thing called the do-si-do where you just grab each other's arms, but then you turn each other around, and it's just to get different angles because it's so boring to look at two people just stand and talk to each other.
It was
very interesting. Hey, yeah. Those guys, you have to memorize so much dialogue, like hats off to them. It's a tough job.
Absolutely.
Speaking of jobs, what would you say was your first big project that you worked on, and what was that like?
Well, I was very much lucky enough to work at The Late Show with David Letterman, which I don't even know if people are going to that is. But imagine Jimmy Fallon, but different. But he was someone I watched growing up. My brother is 10 years older than me, so I was watching him probably when I shouldn't have. So I grew up loving him, and then I got an internship there. And then slowly I got to be on the show sometimes. So I would say that was like just a thrill as a fan and a nerd. But then as an acting job, it was like live television. Like, I got to interrupt Dave's monologue one time and do jokes with him, so that was, you know, wow. Definitely on my reel, but also like bucket list times a million. Did not think that would ever happen. But I got to do the other, I would say the best, one of the best things I've ever done is not at all exciting in terms of like coolness, because it was a web series probably 1,000 people saw. But I was kind of the co-star of it. And I, you know, we filmed it over like 3 months on the weekends. It was really hard, was not getting paid. I was my own makeup artist, my own hair artist. I was like, and it was the best time I've ever had. It was great. It was like really solidified, like, oh, this is what I want to do. I love being on set, and I love like TV.
Yeah, fantastic.
It does seem like that must be really fun to be on set. Do you have any like fun memories you'd like to share, or just maybe explain what day is typically like on set?
Oh, it's for television. I could definitely, well, actually, so I worked at a late night TV show for 10 years, and that's pretty, everyone knows what they're doing because they've done it a million times before. You know, you have your crew who all are, you know, experts at their job. And then at any one time, so they'll have rehearsal, and essentially you have little bits that they're doing for the show, little sketches. Maybe one of them will actually end up, but you got to rehearse like five of them. So you know, and granted, all of these things were created that day. None of this is like, I always say Saturday Night Live is amazing, but like talk shows like Jimmy, they're doing this. They're right. Doing a new show every single day.
Wow.
So you have to, you know, the director comes in, you rehearse, and you get two or three times to rehearse. And then, you know, if it's in, you're like, okay. But a lot of times there's also pre-tape. So they would tape it beforehand. But again, not many takes, you would say. So something like that is very like, everything's on the fly. Everyone knows what they're doing. On the few TV and movie sets, again, it's like everyone's very professional. Everyone knows what they're doing. But if it's, let's just say it all goes from the top down. So if you have a director who's really, you know, everything's prepared, everything's with it, that's going to be how it is. If you have a director who's more scattered brain or behind, it's going to trickle down. So I was told once, like, if you go on set, you know, even as an actor, you're like, if you're in a big, I've never been on like a big movie set or something like that, like huge, you know, extras or whatever, you're going to be so worried about like yourself. It's like, no one cares about you because they are all worried about their own job, making sure they're not screwing up. So
I never thought of it like that.
Yeah. And always find the AD, the assistant director is the one who knows what is going on.
Yep. Yeah. That's always, it's funny. When I used to work in, I used to be a journalist, and it was always go to the assistant editor. Like, don't go to the head editor. They won't know anything that's going on. They won't be able to give you the information. Go to the person under them. They've got all the answers for you. Exactly. Do you have like a favorite role you've taken on, or something that like has really stuck with you throughout the years?
I'm trying to think. I mean, definitely that web series, that was, you know, it was great. It really taught me how to be an actor more, you know, as I said, always take classes, but always do take the opportunity. Like I had kind of blown off the audition for this because it was something, it just didn't seem like it was for me. And then it ended up being this like hugely, it's a great experience. So I would say also, doing improv, talk about you play different roles at any moment of any time. And it's truly freeing. It's, you know, it's very scary, but I always say I've taught improv to people. And I always say we do improv every day because you don't know what mm-hmm. you're going to say. Do you have lines prepared? No. It's once you kind of understand like the game that you're playing on stage, you know, you have that. No one's being like, hey, say a joke right now. Like, that's not improv.
Right.
I would love, has there ever been an improv troupe at Gwynedd?
You know, I was just thinking about that. I was like, oh my gosh, we need to like have some improv here. Yeah. I don't think so.
I would do that. That seems so fun.
Yeah. I could tell you, I mean, there's definitely books you can read. You definitely need to do it. But there are some books by some UCB teachers, I guess it was, but I would meet people in college and say like, oh, I was on an improv troupe in high school. And I was like, what? I mean, that's, you guys are doing cool, a podcast. Right? I would have killed. I mean, there was no podcast then, but if I was in high school now, I would definitely be working the podcast. That's like,
yeah,
so fun.
Yeah. We have a drama club, but I don't know what all they work on. So maybe, Lana, you're going to have to look into that and see if there's an opportunity to bring some improv into that. Because, that I did improv classes when I was a teenager, and I loved them. Like, it was just, like, so fun to be, like, totally creative, you know, not have to stick to a script or something and just be able to, like, let your mind wander. So
I've actually heard that Gwen had started not too long ago, like, Triple Threat Camp over the summer, and I didn't get to do it. I definitely want to do it this year, but I do have friends that did get to do it, and they said, I think they did have some improv in there. I mean, I'm sure they did a bunch of other activities, but I definitely want to look into that too.
Yeah, it's cool, the arts offerings that we have now.
Yeah, definitely.
That's awesome. Yeah, and because it is helpful being an actor, but it is now become its own art. And if you want to ever do commercials, which is the few things that I have been in a few commercials, they love you to do improv in the commercial audition. So that's another whole reason to do it if you're an actor.
Yeah,
it's cool. Tell us a little bit about your commercial work. Like, what, like, is there anything we would recognize
from TV or anything?
I was in a BioTrue, the contact lens solution commercial.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it used to play on Hulu, like, before, like, as one of the commercials. And my friend was like, I see you every day. Like, you're my commercial every day. And I'm like, I'm sorry.
It is so crazy. I have friends that do commercials and I'll be like, oh my gosh, like, that's so-and-so. Like, it's crazy.
The first one I ever did was for this. It was, even if I could think of her name, I probably wouldn't. Well, not, it would be slandering her, but she was a workout guru, and she was kind of selling these tapes, but she was very, even though that was her job, like, she was a Peloton instructor before there was Peloton. Like, she's a personality. Mm-hmm. She was very nervous. So we had to film for so long to get her comfortable before, like, anything was usable. She was very sweet, but, you know, we were doing, everyone talked, these 16 people. And then one of my lines made it into the commercial. But this is the line. It was, however it started was like, what if you wanted to make your butt a little smaller? And I was like,
what a big debut.
I know. Clap, clap, frown. I was like, I'm happy that I'm in it and you can see me and I'm
nothing.
But like,
it's like very early 2000s, very
very on brand for the time.
Very much. Like, funny. You know, but I was like pretty tiny and did not need to lose any weight, but
right.
But at this point it's like whatever makes it.
Right. You're just putting yourself into that act, into that role, you know. you believe it for that moment. Do you have, like, anything that's, like, what's your dream? Like, what's the project that you would love to work on or something that you, you know, wish you were part of, a certain series or anything like that?
I think, like, my answer has changed over time. I used to, years ago, there was a show called, God, I have it right here. Called Pushing Daisies. It was made one season, but I loved it because it was like fantasy but also comedy, plus, you know, the actors kind of got to do it all, and it was such a lovely, great show. So I guess my answer is the same in that, you know, I want to do something that makes me happy, but I love comedy, and I would love to, and I love TV, so anything that would combine those two would be great. I always use, you know, not in any way to compare myself in any way, but the show Veep with Julia Louis-Dreyfus. It's an amazing show, amazingly written. She kills it at the comedy, but she was also amazing at the drama when she kind of didn't need to be. She could phone it in, and she would, like, break my heart when they'd ever have the few, like, real serious scenes. So, I mean, something a lot like that would be a dream come true.
Wow.
That's really cool. I love Veep. And I feel like I've never watched Pushing Daisies, but my favorite podcast host is, like, that's, like, her favorite show that, like, ever existed. And she talks about it a lot. And it's like those, like, cult classics where you're like, we only got one season, but everybody who's ever seen it is just, like, obsessed with it. So that's really cool.
I know the same person who made that. I can't think of his name, but then he made the show Hint. Like, he's made other things that I haven't watched, which is crazy. But it's one of those things where you're like, it just got it, you know, of course, one season. But at least we got one.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, with all these commercials and being on set and all these really fun things that you get to do, I'm sure your schedule can get really busy. So what are some things that you like to do in your free time?
I love going to concerts. I'm a big, you know, crazy. I love music. But I do love going to concerts. And, you know, during, you know, the lockdown, COVID was, I feel like now that once I got, you know, that was over, I've really made a point to go to see everyone I want to see. So I like to do that. And yeah, just I was lucky enough to meet, you know, all these different ways to meet people. I really met like my group of best friends when I worked at Letterman. And so we still keep in touch. So we tend to do some sort of big dinner once a month or something. So that's pretty important to me. Otherwise, yeah, try to see shows. I live in New York City, so I'm like, try to see things on Broadway or off Broadway when I can. It'll be a lot easier in January when no tourists come. So
yep.
It's a lot cheaper. If you want to go for the cheaper time, come to freezing cold New York in February and January.
Is there a favorite show you've seen recently? I used to live in New York, and I used to go to see like 3 shows a week. And I was just recently there to see The Notebook right before it closed.
Oh, wow. I saw, I'm seeing Oh Mary, the play.
I just got my mom tickets for Christmas.
We just did not get our stuff together, me and my friends. And then I was like, Cola Scola, they're leaving like the 19th of January. So we're seeing January 2nd. So pretty excited about that. But I feel like, I mean, I'm not to see musicals, and it seems like I am because I keep bringing it up, but I'm not a musical person. But I just saw this, but Wicked, the movie, and I'm changed. Like, I'm playing that. I'm like,
for good.
I'm
for good.
I'm a musical person.
Jinx.
Because I never even saw it on Broadway. Like, this is shame. But I am kind of obsessed.
So good. I saw it in London, I think, when I studied abroad.
I saw it in the Philippines.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool. But yeah, actually, I think I sang For Good during my senior arts festival at Gwynedd with my best friend at the time. We sang the duet. And yeah. So I was reliving that.
I sang For Good. It was like the last week of eighth grade. We had like an eighth grade dinner like in our gym, and all like the girls who were involved in the choir sang it. And it was so
fun.
That's
so cute.
I love that song.
Yeah, it's... That is a life-changing show. That's fantastic.
I did see Rent 4 times before I turned 18. So I did. I'm not
so good.
Completely not a musical person, but that was, yeah, that was, maybe saw it too many times, but that and Les Mis.
Oh, yeah.
Classics.
Yeah.
Well, is there anyone in your life that inspires you to keep doing what you love?
Well, I keep wanting to call her my acting teacher, even though I haven't been in class with her in many years. So I would say she's my acting coach. But again, just like kind of happened to stumble into this class because of it. My neighbor was in it. And I just met this woman, Joan Rosenfels, and she's been just a constant inspiration and reminds me why it's so such, you know, not to be a typical actor, but like why it's so important doing something creative, but also to remind like how lucky we are that we get to do it and get to study it. And yeah, she just inspires me. She loves actors and she loves teaching. And it's just, I feel very lucky that I got to be in class with her. She does like private coaching of like some cool people,
mm-hmm.
But she also still teaches this class with, you know, with younger people because she just loves it. She just loves acting. So
that's really fantastic to have somebody who just loves what they're doing, and like it doesn't matter like if they're making $1 million on it, like they just really lean into it. That's fantastic. And go ahead.
Do you have any advice for any fellow Gwynedd girls like me or any other Gwynedd girls out there who would like to pursue acting as a career in the arts?
Well, I'd say do it. If it's a question, things are very, the industry is different and a little bit harder than it used to be, but it's always been hard and it's always been not an easy path. So you know if it's something that interests you, I would say please do it, because we need more people who want to pursue it because it seems harder now, and I think it dissuades people. And I if you know, never, there's no one else like you. So you're going to bring something that no one else is going to bring. And an acting teacher once told me, there's always room for everyone. So it's, you know, a lot of times it might feel like, oh God, this is so hard. There's so many people who want to do a thing. You'll always find your way, whether it's you get the part or you write the part or you decide that, you know, you want to be a part of this industry in a different way. But there's also many ways to be in the industry and still try to be an actor as well. I used to think very binary, like I'm pursuing acting or I'm not. If I, mm-hmm. if I try to pursue something else, and it's that is not true. Get that rigidity of thinking out of your head. There's many avenues to pursue this. You know, just keep like a flexible mindset, I always say, of what you want to do and be open to any opportunity that comes along the way. But yeah, it's whatever. And also another thing a teacher once said to me was like, whatever you think you don't like about yourself or you think is weird, your voice is high or voice is low, your nose doesn't look the way you want. 9 times out of 10, that's making you different than 100 other people. And that's what's going to get you the job. So there's a ton of other people who are all trying to be what they, people think they need to be like. But there's, again, only one you. So, and art is a necessity. Everyone, even if you don't want to be an actor, pursue, you know, be creative whenever you can. Because I think it's necessary for everyone's lives.
I think that's fantastic. Yes. Yes, I think sometimes we forget that for sure. And there can be a lot of stress. But the failure is where you learn, right?
Exactly.
That's fantastic. Absolutely. I know. I feel like I tell students that all the time and they look at me like, Mrs. Clements, what are you talking about? You know, I had students today in a meeting and they were saying, you know, I got a low grade. And I said, what's a low grade? And they said, a 92. And I said, excuse me. That's a really high grade. What are you talking about? Your perception is off. It's like we need to shift the way we're looking at things. But it's all, I guess, you know, in the eye of the beholder. But I think that's really fantastic advice.
And be, you know, with along with saying like fail, be nice to yourself, because, you know, your relationship with yourself is the longest relationship you're ever going to have. So it's good to start whenever you can to be, you know, to get good with each other. Be nice to yourself. No negative thought that 92 is bad, you know. Absolutely. I would have killed for 92 in some classes, let's just say.
Yeah, no, I definitely feel that there. Well, thank you so much for chatting with us today. This was so fantastic to learn about you and your career and your path from Gwynedd to New York City and acting and all of that. We'll be excited to keep an eye out and see all the cool projects you get up to.
Of course.
Thank you so much. And honestly, for real, if anyone has like follow-up questions, you can give out my email. I can tell you perfect. All I know, but yeah, again, it's like be of service to one another is something I learned at Gwynedd, and it's true in life.
Absolutely. Yeah. The circle of mercy is timeless, as they say.
I learned that my first week of freshman year.
Yep. Fantastic. Well, I think this episode will probably be up in February because we have another one going up already in January. But so we'll make sure to look out for that and share that with you. But thank you so much. And next time you're in.
I love it. Get a podcast, please.
Me too.
Anytime. And if you're ever in town, come by. We just opened a new wing and there's lots going on here at Gwynedd. You can come by and check it out.
Well, thanks. I did. I was able to do a walkthrough at graduation this past year and it was.
Oh, right. Yeah. Because like, of Grace. Yeah.
It was so crazy to see the new stuff and how much the old stuff was exactly the same.
Oh, like, it's like the lockers. Are all exactly the same.
Like everything. Smell, like I was like,
it's right. People say the smell, and people think I'm like saying it's a bad. There's not a bad smell. It's just a distinct smell.
And it's like it was like smell time traveling.
It was crazy. Smell of mercy.
Buddy, improv team, come on. That's you're quick.
I know. I know. This entire exercise is basically improv,
that's
right?
True, that's true.
So, and I think she did a pretty good job for her first
time.
I mean, even for her 100th time, she would have done a good job.
But
thank you.
Amazing. So professional, but so very, like, I felt like you were really listening, like, you know, taking it. It was perfect.
Thank you.
That's perfect. Well, we really appreciate your time. And but yeah, we'll be in touch. And it was great to get to know you and chat. And I hope you have a great Christmas and a lovely time
Happy
in
holidays.
New York.
Thank you so much. And I'm serious, if anyone reaches out saying, like, I want to ask that girl questions, I will.
Perfect.
We will make sure to share all your contact.
Yes.
People won't stop talking to you. But perfect. Well, have a good night and we will be in touch.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Bye.